under attack. Time has come, we're gonna take it back. Just go wait and see. Don't tread on me. I won't sit back, stand idly by. Watch the heart of my nation die. Oh, not me. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible. Don't tread on my guns. Don't you tread on my faith in God's only Son. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free, and I damn sure fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Come, gonna take a stand. Spread these words all across the land. From sea to sea, don't tread on me. So tell your neighbors, tell all your friends. Gonna see that eagle flying high again. You better believe, don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible, don't tread on my guns. Don't you tread on my faith in God's only Son. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free, and I'll damn sure fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Yeah, I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me.
Hey, everybody, welcome back into the show. Second hour on this Holy Friday edition of Your Defending Fathers with Chuck and Randy Bishop here on the Patriot Voice Radio Network, March 29, 2024. I got a text message I want to get into the show before we start our discussion with Pastor Chatfield. My name is Lori Blaskowski from Sheboygan. I was headed to work at E.F. Wilkinson's and Sons when you played that remake of Hallelujah with the two sisters. Coincidentally, I was right at Sacred Heart Church. So I pulled over, listening on my car radio in their parking lot. And while I was listening to that remake of that song, I was staring at the church the whole time. Thank you for that very beautiful moment on this Good Friday. So you're welcome, Lori. I appreciate you texting into the show, letting us know that. Joining us, as usual, in the second hour on Fridays from 10 to 11, our pastor, historian, Rusty Chatfield, always has interesting topics for us to talk about, sometimes lesson plans that he's teaching at Northern Michigan Christian Academy there in Burt Lake, other times current events tied into things happening politically in our world and different things. So we greatly appreciate him coming on the show and their support. By the way, you hear the commercials about their church on Sundays. You should be there in person, but if not, you can hear them here on the radio from 11 to noon every Sunday. So we greatly appreciate that as well. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
You've got a very interesting topic for us today.
It's an overriding theme of history. The deeper you dig, it's just there constantly. It's always there. It's ego battles, egos. It's in the Bible. It's in history. Everybody knows it. Everybody senses it. It's just the way it is. You read a biography about John Adams, our second president. He was always struggling this, and he was probably too open. He kept telling his wife, you know, Man, I got all this ambition. I want to succeed. I mean, he recognized that he had ego, ambition. He wanted to excel. Alexis de Tocqueville said about Americans in general, but it's true of anybody. It's not true of anybody. It's true of a lot of people, and usually men, but sometimes women too. This in us, this longing to rise, this desire to accomplish or lead or rule or have dominance, or it is part of human nature now, and not just fallen human nature. I don't think it's a part of who we are, and it's stronger in some people than it is in others, but it's especially strong in military, in politics, in leadership roles. When James and John's in the Bible, their mother came to Jesus with James and John. Says, James said, "I'm my two sons. One sit on the right hand, and the other sit on the left hand. And when you come into your kingdom, hey, we want to be up at the top echelon." When Jesus Christ rules, and the Bible says that the other 10 had great indignation against them. What is this? You guys trying to push yourself forward? Well, the fact that the other 10 were so indignant shows that they have the same feelings, the same urges. Now, again, it's part of the sin nature to some measure, but it's just a desire to conquer, to rise, to accomplish, to build, to succeed. It's one of those things that you see over and over again in history. It's just almost never is there somebody rises without somebody pushing against them. It's just the nature of humankind.
Great spot for a break. Word from our sponsors. We'll be right back. The Sioux Animal Hospital in Sault Ste. Marie has been in the same location for 35 years. The owner, Dr. Jeff, specializes in providing all aspects of care for your animals. From annual shots to complicated bone and soft tissue surgeries, Dr. Jeff can take care of any animal. So call him today at 906-635-5910. From dogs and cats to cows and horses, Dr. Jeff loves them all. So give him a call at 906-635-5910. Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, CEO of MyPillow. I support this show, and I would like to offer you our biggest discounts for listening. So please go to our website, MyPillow.com, and put in the promo code at the end of this message to get the biggest discounts. Again, thanks for listening, and God bless.
Thanks, Mike. Folks, go to MyPillow.com and enter the promo code TRUCKERRANDY, or call 800-654-9659.
Hi, this is Ian Murphy from the Iron Pig Smokehouse in downtown Gaylord. Join me every Tuesday at 10 a.m. with Trucker Randy for an update on all things happening at the Iron Pig. We're open 7 days a week and serving breakfast Saturdays and Sundays. You can order online anytime for takeout, curbside, and delivery at ironpigsmoke.com. And be sure to keep up with our legal battle against the health department by subscribing to our podcast at fuelcasttv.com.
And now this from Northern Michigan RV.
Hi, I'm Tony Kessering from Northern Michigan RV in Gaylord. Get ready for a new adventure with help from Northern Michigan RV. We sell everything from pop-ups and truck campers to luxury fifth wheels, and we have everything to keep you going, including parts, full service, and even propane. And we're open year-round. Don't buy anywhere before stopping into Northern Michigan RV. Off 32 on Expressway Court behind Walgreens in Gaylord. Online at northernmichiganrv.com. Get ready for a new adventure at Northern Michigan RV.
Shut the door, close the border, build that wall. It is time for a strong senator to help close the border. Hi, I'm Dr. Sherry O'Donnell, candidate for the U.S. Senate. Biden's open door policy has caused this massive refugee crisis that endangers our country, increases drug trafficking, and is costing taxpayers billions of dollars. Check out my plan at DocSherry2024.com. I'm not a recycled politician. I will pull off the Band-Aid and cure this problem. Together, we can stop illegal immigration. Paid for by Doc Sherry for Senate.
Find everything you need to ride at Northern Leathers and Accessories, where comfort and style meet no matter the season. Find parts, equipment, and other products for motorcycles, snowmobiles, and ATVs, including products from Drag Specialties, Parts Unlimited, Moose Utilities, Lucas, and Champion Power. Plus apparel for men, women, and children, including big and tall sizes. Quality items at prices you can afford. Stop in today to browse our selection located on US 131 in Elba. We are more than just leathers.
Hey, everybody, welcome back into the show. Second segment of our history lesson discussion with Pastor Chatfield. Pastor Chatfield, if you could pause your lesson plan, your discussion for a second and indulge me. I was listening to what you were saying, and I come at things a little bit differently. I don't necessarily think it's ego, but you mentioned accomplishment. And I want to explain what I'm coming from and why. And maybe for a second, have a conversation with you about it. My dad died when I was 8 in a car accident. He was coming back from Rochester, heading back to Shelby Township on December 13th, 1966 at 12:45 in the morning, and he hit a ice patch and lost control of his Mercury and slammed into a big oak tree, and the engine was pushed back onto his lap. And they literally had to cut his legs off to get him out of the car, and his casket was only from the waist up when we went to William Poter Funeral Home in Rochester. And as I got older, I wanted to help people. I was going to go to Michigan State Lyman Briggs College pre-medicine to be a doctor because I wanted to help people. My high school career, graduating with National Honor Society, GPA, got accepted into Lyman Briggs, and was basically told after my first year, my counselor called me down, and that was during the time period of affirmative action, and said, "Randy, I'm sorry, you got to change your major." And I'm like, "Why?" And she said, "Well, because you're white and you're a male, and you don't have a father who's a doctor to be able to write a letter of recommendation for you to get into a medical school. Affirmative action, you're not going to be a doctor." And I packed up my lava lamp and my eight-track stereo and put it in my Chevy hatchback, my Vega, and I drove home. And I went into real estate to help people, and my whole life I've been wanting to help people, but the real driving force behind it, nobody knew who Thomas Elvin Bishop was from Lapeer, the farmer who fought in World War II. He took a bullet from a German soldier, served his country, came home, had a family, and died when he was 43. And for me, Randy Travers has a song. It's a country song, Three Wooden Crosses. Are you familiar with that song at all?
No.
He talks about four people, and they were on a bus heading toward Mexico, and a 18-wheeler, a semi-truck, pulled out in front of them. And the bus couldn't stop, and three of the four died. A pastor, a teacher, a farmer, and a prostitute. And the prostitute lived. And the song says, there's three wooden crosses on the right side of the highway. Why there's not four of them, heaven only knows. And then this is kind of really my mission in life from this song. I guess it's not what you take when you leave this world behind you. It's what you leave behind when you go. And that's really because nobody knew who my dad was. He really didn't make an impact on this state. I love the state of Michigan. I love the people. I really love Northern Michigan since we've been living here since 2010. And, you know, I've lived in Macomb County. I've lived in Oakland County. We've been in Birmingham. We've been in Chesterfield. We've been in New Baltimore. We've been in Algonac. We moved up to Traverse City. Now we're in Antrim County. You know, I want to make a difference in the state of Michigan. I want to fix the state. I love the state. It's so beautiful. We have so much natural resources. I love the people. I love the churches. I love the everything about it, but it needs to be fixed because there's so many things wrong with it. And when I go, you know, I want to leave behind an accomplishment, a mark in my life because I tried to fix and improve people's lives and try to improve their standard of living in the state of Michigan because it's not what you take with you when you leave this world behind you. It's what you leave behind when you go. And it's something that I think, is that a form or a variation of ego with regards to accomplishment when you said that word accomplishment? Is that part of what you're talking about today?
Sure. And make no mistake about it. people are mixed. We're all mixed. There's no perfect. It's like if I say to my wife, I say, hey, come give me a kiss. Mm-hmm. Do I kiss her because I want a kiss or she needs a kiss? I mean, it's kind of a mixture of things. That's just the way it works. That's human. That's humankind. Mm-hmm. We have mixed. We're mixed. Wanting to accomplish something, you know, that's you can call it whatever you want to call it. Ego, drive. You want to make a difference. However you want to frame it, people want to make a difference. Now, I don't know if you heard this, but State Senator Mike Green passed away. Did you hear that?
No, I did not.
Yes, and I mean, he was a good conservative Christian, and served 14 years, you know, in the state legislature.
Yeah,
and he made a difference. He was a good guy, Christian man.
Yeah, he helped us with right to work.
Yes, so there you go. There you have it. People, you want to make a difference with your life, and that's not wrong. And sometimes in settings, you think that you can do a better job than somebody else. That is the way it is, and there's so many illustrations of this. Let me start with just here's Eisenhower, Dwight D. Eisenhower, talking to Churchill and FDR, and they're talking to him about if he wants to be the Supreme Allied Commander and try to form a plan to retake Europe during World War II. And Eisenhower tells Churchill, look, if I do this, I've got to be in charge. I have to be in charge. I have to have operational control. If I'm responsible for this, I had a pastor friend say this to me once. If I'm responsible, I'm in charge. I've got to have that. Now, was Eisenhower being egotistical? Well, I don't know. I don't think so. But he did understand this. Somebody has to be in charge. He knew that he would be dealing with a lot of egos, a lot of generals. Montgomery there, the general from Great Britain that had beaten Rommel in North Africa, he wanted the position. Patton. George Patton was a great general, and he had his ego. He and Montgomery were always trying to outdo each other when they were taking Italy. And then when they get in Europe, they're trying to race to Berlin. Who could be the first army to get to Berlin? General Omar Bradley and many others. General Spatz. I mean, there were a lot of different generals that were kind of – they thought they could do a better job than Eisenhower. And but Eisenhower understood this. You can't have four heads. If you have a four-headed creature, that is a monster. It doesn't work. The people that formed our country, in the end, they talked about a triumvirate. In other words, like three presidents. They said, no, this doesn't work. It never worked. The Romans tried that. There was it preceded a civil war. They thought, okay, we're going to have Julius Caesar, Pompey, and Crassus. We're going to share power. But eventually, as you may or may not know, Julius Caesar, who controlled a good army, he came back, crossed over the Rubicon, and eventually won that civil war and became emperor. But he's then later murdered by people that are jealous of him, including his friend Brutus, and then Julius Caesar's nephew, he becomes Caesar Augustus and begins the Roman Empire. And what became known as the Pax Romana, 210 years of peace in the Roman Empire from about 30 B.C. to 180 A.D. People want to be in charge. People want to conquer. Now, George Washington was appointed, commander of the Continental Armies. Now, he came to the Independence Hall on the first and second Continental Congress dressed in a uniform. And now, do I think he was egotistical? No, but why did he wear a uniform? When it came to choosing who would be the general, he was the obvious choice. And I think he was modest, but I think he knew this to be true. He was the logical choice. He was the one that had to do it. But even when the war was going poorly, the Revolutionary War, There was something called the Conway Cabal. There were a group of officers who were thinking about trying to form some sort of coup, and they were in contact with the Continental Congress or members of it to say Washington's doing a bad job. Horatio Gates, who was credited with as being the hero of Saratoga, by the way, I use the word credited because when you look back, oh, he was the hero at Saratoga. Are you sure? You really know what happened there? I'm saying he was credited with it, but he tried to take over against Washington. Benedict Arnold, who was a confidant of Washington for a while, and others, he felt like he was misused, blamed, didn't get rightly promoted. And what did he do? He betrayed his country and became a Benedict Arnold, attempted to turn over West Point to the British. I mean, because his ego was hurt.
Right.
That's human beings. That's the way we are. Do you remember Chuck Daly, who coached the Pistons back in the...
Absolutely. The bad boys.
The bad boys. You know, he was... So it's been said, and I think it to be true. You know what his best attribute of being a coach was? He could smooth out egos, and he could manage people. I mean, lots and lots of these NBA coaches and college coaches are good at the X's and O's. But how do you manage people? How do you keep everybody happy? And by the way, on that team, Isaiah Thomas, who was a great player, you know, one of my favorites.
Yep.
Great player. I mean, he sacrificed points and a lot of things to win. He wanted to win. He wanted to win a championship. And he could have went out there and led the league in scoring if he wanted to.
Yeah.
But he had a stronger desire to win.
Well, and your case in point, I believe, was it 89-90, the first championship, whatever year it was, he led the league in assists higher than his point production. When you're giving up the ball to your fellow teammates because they're better, more open than he was, that right there shows unselfishness and wanting to win the games.
Okay. I don't think he had more assists than he did points, but he had a lot of assists.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. He led the league in assists, what memory was. Yes.
Yeah, okay, that may be true. But the point is, you wanted to win. But everywhere you go, you know, when the only exception I see to this throughout history, and I've been watching, we've been on spring break, I'm ridiculous. I just watch video after video. I read and read. And look, I'll watch a video and I'll stop. And I'll say, is that accurate? And I'll look it up to make sure that, this is accurate. You know what the exception is when you're in the foxhole with your buddies and somebody else is shooting at you.
Yeah.
And, you know, then you're fighting for each other. I've seen that over and over and over in every war. World War II, Vietnam, Korea, Civil War. You know, you're in the battle and you're with your buddies. And nobody wants to let the team down, your buddies down. And you're fighting for each other. Even more than you're fighting for your country. Now, you love your country, but that's the exception to this. But once you're in peacetime, oh, wow. It's true, man. You want that promotion. And you're going to do whatever it takes to get it. I'll go back to the Pacific during World War II. General MacArthur and Admiral Nimitz were, you know, both, one in the Navy, one in the Army, but they were both vying to see who would be the overall head of what's going on. And they have an ego. That's the way it is.
Yeah. Going to continue the conversation. Bottom of the hour news break. I'm Trucker Randy Bishop. He's Pastor Chad Field. We'll be right back.
Michigan News.